Well, I'd like to say good morning to all the joint heirs with Jesus. You know, we try so hard to communicate. And sometimes it just, despite our best efforts, we just can't seem to get on the same page. For instance, a few announcements. The peacemaking meeting scheduled for today has been canceled due to a conflict. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. The sermon this morning, Jesus walked on water. In the evening sermon, we'll be searching for Jesus. We ask you to remember in prayer those who are sick of our church and community. The upcoming fasting and prayer conference, the $35 fee includes meals. The senior choir invites any member of the congregation who enjoys singing to join the choir. A Dean Supper will be held on Tuesday evening in the church hall. Music will follow. Don't you think a little proofreading would take care of some of this? Irving Benson and Jesse Carter were married on October 24th in the church, so ends the friendship that began in their childhood. It's just difficult, even when you're using the same language, to communicate. I often wonder when I'm working, you know, I speak English and then the Ukrainian who speaks English interprets it in Ukrainian, and then the Hungarian who speaks Ukrainian interprets it into Hungarian. I'm wondering actually what it was I said by the time they finished with that. Now, because a lot of things don't translate, it has to go from one language to another image into that language, and then to another image into the next language, and you have to trust the Holy Spirit. You really do. Anytime we're trying to get people on the same page, you really have to rely on God. Thank God that he's reliable. We have been involved in quite a quest this year. Oh, I need to ask something. How many of you really like this bell? How many of you really like the ringing of the bell? And the rest are abstaining, right? How many of you really, really don't like the ringing of the bell? Well, good. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll try this. Thank you for returning to your seats. How would that work? Now, if it doesn't work, guess what I'm going to do? All right. Well, I'm glad we got that town meeting over with. You know, you try so hard to get people focused and to help them understand the relationship of one priority to another, because lots of us have our own bents in the Lord, the things that are really important to us. We spent a good deal of time this year unearthing some things about us, our history, the things that we truly value, the things that have made Prague distinctive, because there's something about this place that we value. That's why we're still here. And as we have gone through the surveys and tried to interpolate the results and spent a great deal of time and conversation, involved a lot of different people, we were able to affirm with a little greater clarity our commitment to the reason why we're on this earth. Our purpose, it comes in four segments. That we love God, that we love one another, and that breaks out into two component parts. We love our neighbor as ourselves, and we love one another as Jesus loved us. And then there's an element that Christ has committed to us called reaching out. And the purpose of that is to make disciples. He says, go into all the world and make disciples and teach them everything that I told you. Right? Something like that. Well, as many of us have come to appreciate and experience, the kingdom of God is supposed to be participatory. That doesn't mean you come to church and somebody preaches at you. That's not the kingdom of God, all right? That's just the place you gather so you can go scatter with the kingdom of God. A fire in your heart, a truth on your lips, a revelation in your understanding, a story to tell to a needy audience. And we have begun certain steps to see that we stir that up. And, this morning, for instance, Christina Figgins is here with us. She celebrated her first communion as a new believer just a few moments ago. Larry, I understand there are 3 new believers in your sphere over a period of how many days? So within the last 5 weeks, there's been 3 new believers because you've carried the testimony of Jesus with you. Amen. That's good news. See, the kingdom is advancing whether we're going to be a part of it or not. 2 billion people on this planet named Jesus as their Savior. Started with 11 guys who made the final cut. Taken 2,000 years. And they went from 120 to 500 to 3,500 to, another 8,000 on top of that. And now it's 1/3 of the population of the earth. Give us a little more time. And we're going to take over. I've reported to you from previous studies that in some nations, the conversion to Christianity exceeds the birth rate of the nation. These are remarkable days in which to be alive. And we have an opportunity to get focused on the things the Lord has invested in us. For instance, there's some things that we asked early this year out of I list 20-something things. And out of it, we found 70%+ of us value some of the same things. That one of the reasons we hang out together is because we hold some principles to be dear. And we govern our lives by them. They've ordered the way this church has come together. They haven't always been clearly articulated, but we have done that already. We have a value system, and we're going to get more in harmony with it. We're going to get greater exposure to it. We're going to let it be part of our cognizant corporate reality. We have a mission. That which we're supposed to be doing while we're on this planet. We know why we're here. What are we supposed to do while we're here? What does God say? He says, He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And we've learned that reconciliation runs both horizontally and vertically. We've been charged with the ministry of reconciling men to God. But when they come into the same family, what do you have to do with them? Reconcile them one to another. I am as delighted as I can be. I'll just pause to let you rejoice with me that a South Alabama boy raised in the stench and stronghold of racial prejudice pastors a multi-racial congregation. That's the Lord. Somebody has to say that the middle wall of partition has been broken down. That the two, whichever the two are, have been made one. The Koreans and the Chinese are going to have to hear and get over their history. Certain tribes in Africa are going to have to hear it and get over their history. They live for the purpose of killing one another. Jesus died so that they might love one another. We have a wonderful challenge in our day and age. And we're coming into a time that's remarkable. Do you realize if we choose, we can get on the World Wide Web and preach this message to any nation that wants to tune in? This is a remarkable time for us. We've got to understand that we're not just about St. Mary's County. We are in a place where God has postured us with incredible talent in this house, electronic resources, more doodads than I know how to fool with. I'm always asking somebody, can you do this for me? Because I just can't keep up with it. Did I fail to mention it was in Neanderthal, South Alabama? electronically challenged. Things are changing. We've been told to go make disciples. That's a very interesting thing, and I'm not one who ignores trends or fruits. Jesus said you'll know a tree by its fruit. You realize that? That if something builds itself as something, then you ought to be able to see it producing that thing, right? Apple trees produce what? Why? Because they're apple trees. Now, if the church is supposed to produce disciples, you have to look around and see the fruit. What's the church produced? Disciples. Okay, let's assume for a moment that the church has produced some disciples. Let me ask this question. Disciples of what? What have they been discipled into? Sitting in church? Having a quiet time and a daily devotion? Having a family altar? Being family focused? Being, you know, getting a good marriage together? Not that any of those things are bad, but let me ask you something. Do those things impact the world? Think that was written to us or just to them? Oh, yes. This promises to you, to your children, to as many as are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Jesus went about doing good works and healing those who were oppressed of the devil. Did you know that you are, in fact, ordained to good works? You have been set apart for good works. Listen to this. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the what? The gift of God, not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know that scripture, right? Ephesians 2:8. Did you ever bother to read 9 and 10? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God prepared before we ever came into the kingdom that we should perform. When you ask Jesus, what am I supposed to do? The general refrain is, well, do what you see me doing. I like it when people get excited about that stuff. I really enjoy John Wimber, God rest his soul, testimony. He was heavy into drugs and rock and roll. And when he came to Christ and started reading the stuff, he said, this is going to be fun. So he went to church. 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 And finally he said at church, hey, what are we going to do the stuff? And so one of the church leaders said, well, what stuff? The stuff in the book. Which stuff? You know, the casting out and the healing and the walking of the lame. And he goes, oh, we don't do this stuff. What do you mean you don't do this stuff? I said, well, we talk about it, but we don't do it. We sing about it, but we don't do it. I said, we're not going to do the stuff? He said, oh, no, that's too controversial. I gave up drugs for this. And so he went out and started doing the stuff. He said for the first 10 months, everybody he prayed for died. You know, people wouldn't even come forward to be prayed for anymore. But he stayed at it. He said, God, this is your word. This is what you said you're going to do. And I'm going to see you do it or you're a liar. And he began to raise up one of the modern day healing ministries in our lifetime. I want to see this stuff. You know? I appreciate quiet time. I really do. I appreciate prayer time. But as far as I'm concerned, hanging out with the Holy Ghost in the things that He's doing is like walking to the edge of the cliff, jumping off, and expecting that chute to open. To be truthful, I have more confidence in the Holy Spirit doing stuff than I do me ever jumping off a cliff with a pair of bow tie. Who stole my Honda? They shall lay hands on the sick, and I'll show up and confirm my word, the signs following. We're fortunate that I've been discipled by a man who's probably laid more hands on more sick than more men that I could think of. I've been there and seen God do it. We've seen it happen right here in this house. We have an unusual inheritance in the Lord at Frank. We have been touched by both apostolic and prophetic ministry. We have been impacted by sovereign visitations of God that have warped our thinking. I'm telling you, there are places we can't go anymore and be comfortable because the Holy Ghost in us is buzzing so loud that something ought to happen and nothing happens and we can't stand it. We have the affirmation of ministries who don't even know us, have never crossed the threshold, but year after year after year, they come in and say, you guys have got something really precious in God. And we have seen the Lord do remarkable things. And when you tell your other Christian friends, that's nice. They don't even have a frame of reference for it. God has pushed our walls so far out, we've got brains like Colosseums. We believe He'll do just about anything. And are willing to go at risk with Him. You know, one of the things I like about you guys is you're going, okay, let's give it a try. I'm still a little afraid of that spitting anointing. I hate to say that out loud because you never know. Sometimes the Lord he gets a wild hair and He wants it His way or He won't get anything. Jesus, I believe, is coming for a church that's actually moving in the same anointing that He moves in. That He will have some called out ones who look like the mirror image of Him. And the thing that excites me about going on into the works of Jesus is that there's so much opposition to it. That excites me. You know, I used to want to be, I wanted to be thought well of. I really did. I wanted people to like me. I gave up on that. I found out that it's a bad thing when everybody likes you. In fact, the Lord says, woe unto you when all speak well of you. Since I started hanging out with the Holy Spirit, I have not had that problem. There are actual congregations in this community who don't believe we're going to go to heaven. They really don't believe we're going to be there. I'm so looking forward to their shocked kissers.
What are you doing here? How come your house is bigger than mine?
Yeah, their ears of my imagination not totally sanctified yet. As I've looked down inside my own heart and soul, and as I've looked at the history that God has given us, as I look at the connections, the living connections we have around the world with different ministries, I have come to this conclusion, and I'm going to stand by it for the rest of my life, that our responsibility is to disciple people into the works of Jesus. All the other stuff is important, but there is an objective testimony of Christ in the earth when you see the blind eyes opening and the lame walking. When you see the demons coming out because you spoke the name of Jesus Christ into a desperate situation, there's no question who's been raised from the dead. There's no question in minds of men who is available to save them from their sins. We can still do quiet time. We can still do individual prayer. We can do a lot of those things, but those are well, therein endeth the lesson for today. Now we have some exciting things to do. Somebody, Katrina, would you marshal the children back up here for us? I want to make some affirmations while she's collecting our children because we want them to all be with us in these next few moments. One of the real benefits of being together for a long time is that we get to know one another. And one of the real drawbacks of being together for a long time is that we get to know one another. But if we can do that in the context of the Holy Spirit, we can actually pay attention to the increase of God in lives over time.
With great sincerity and some frequency, I turn to Millie Norris and I say, you know, Millie, you're the reason I stay in the ministry. Millie, where are you? How long have you been here? 14 years. Any of you who've been around Millie for any length of time know that this is a testimony of the transforming power of God. She's an absolutely different human being than when she arrived here. Because we've watched her pursue the Lord. We have seen God's visitation. Many of you have been in intercession on behalf of her life because the Lord has called you to it. And she is a living testimony of the transforming power of God. As I see the accolades that are coming to our children, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the kids in this church are getting favor from all kinds of places in the world. I mean, the deal that Abigail went through last summer when she was selected for that ballet training school up in Washington, it was a huge honor. Lots of people, you know, cut off opponents' arms to get in there. God dropped it in her lap. Other kinds of things that happen to our children, which testify to me of the favor of the Lord on the families. There are dozens of you I could point to right now in whom I have personally seen the net gain of God in your life as we've gone through the rigors. And some of them have been difficult times. But you know more about God today than when you showed up here. I was with an acquaintance recently, a ministry acquaintance, and he was telling me about having been invited into a church based on having spoke someplace, and the pastor saw him and said, I'd like to have this man come to my church. And he went there to do some teaching. And, you know, he just laid out some simple stuff. And, you know, as introduction, you turn around and look at the crowd, and they were just sitting there glazed over. Because we're willing to give it a try. I think God's going to meet us. So next year ought to be a lot of fun. God, get us through the holidays and bring us back to the place where we don't want to look at food again for a month. When that settles down, we'll start doing some teaching. Well, I've been saying for a while, we need to demand of ourselves and one another the evidence of change. And today we're going to have a little ceremony celebrating some evidence of change. We're going to do a recognition ceremony, basically. There's a bunch of scriptures that I could throw at you about, you know, let them first be proven, you know, and, you know, those who serve well win for themselves a good report. But the fact is, the people that we're going to lay hands on today and ordain as deacons in this church have been doing the job for a long time already. They're known to all of you. They've got a good spirit. You all think well of them already. All we're doing is acknowledging in a more formal way that these are the ones to whom we will turn and congregate around for the spirit of service in this house. They typify it. They are those who are there on every occasion. They come to set the chairs up. They come to fix the water hydrants in your home or repair the front door lock. These are the men who have demonstrated themselves already as the spirit of service among us. So we're going to bring them forward, and we're going to have three ways, if you will, of interaction with them. The first is that Brian and I are going to lay hands on them and ordain them, recognize them formally as deacons in this house. And secondly, there's going to be some prophetic presbytery. That is, when you lay hands on someone, think about this now. In Hebrews chapter 6, we talk about the doctrine of the laying on of hands, plural. There's a number of things that the laying on of hands do. It's an imparting time. It's an affirming time. It's an accepting experience. And so we're going to lay hands on to impart, to recognize, and to acknowledge that there is a king in Zion, if you will. And then the prophetic teams are going to come and begin to affirm and see if God has anything to say about this new place of service for them. And finally, there's going to be a time of approbation. By that, I mean we're going to turn these folks out into the lobby where you're going to go gather with them. That is, those of you who are not busy turning this into a dining hall. And visit with them and just communicate to them your appreciation for their service. The fact that you're standing with them in spirit. And if you're that kind of person, say, hey, look, I'm available for you to call on me. I want to work with you. Jeff, I didn't know you were here. God bless you. It is good to see you, brother. You're commuting to Norfolk. Is that where you're going these days? Got sent down yonder, and he's coming home on the weekends, and it was good to have Jeff and Jennifer with us. But we're going to do that, so let me, if you will, call these folks here. We've already done our interviews, and they filled out forms and answered questions and been, you know, duly humble and all that kind of jazz. Robin and Kim Atkinson, would you come stand here, please? By all means, greet them if they can. Would y'all stand right there? And if I could get Al and Alexia Hernandez come here. Brandon and Beth Mundy, if you would join me right here. If I could get Doug and Louise Parade. And Keith and Mary Wallace. They got all dressed up.